Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is created for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases designed for people learning English. It is an opportunity for English learners to practice their listening skills through news and information about the world around them. Today on the program, you will hear a story about measures governments can take to make breastfeeding easier for women. A cultural story about life in the U.S. is about a disagreement between a club for girls and a club for boys. Also in this program, you will hear about the life of an accidental, meaning not planned, refugee. Finally, our half hour together will end with what's trending and an everyday grammar story about academic writing. But first, we hear a report on breastfeeding. The World Health Organization advises mothers to breastfeed during the first 6 months of life. Experts at the WHO also advise mothers to continue breastfeeding for up to 2 years. But many women, especially working women, can't. Anne Ball tells us about measures taken by the government of Uganda to help women officials there and their staff continue breastfeeding their babies.
The World Health Organization says breastfeeding is very important for the health of babies. WHO officials say mother's milk should be the only food given to babies during the first 6 months of life. They advise that breastfeeding should continue in children up to 2 years of age. But that can be difficult for working mothers around the world. In Uganda, Parliament is supporting the act of breastfeeding by providing a free daycare center for female lawmakers and the women who work for them. Uganda's parliament has more than 150 women legislators. Many of them are at the age when they can give birth. Because of this, parliament members, including male legislators, have taken steps to help female members deal with their full-time job and motherhood. Legislator Taka Agnes Wejuli sends her 4-month-old son to the parliamentary daycare center. "When I am coming very early, I don't even have to bathe my baby. I just get him out of sleep, put him in his car seat, lock the vehicle, and we run up to here. I attend committee meetings. I attend plenary in the afternoon, so I am always there all the time." The Speaker of Uganda's Parliament, Rebecca Alitwala Kadaga, opened the Parliamentary Center almost 2 years ago. The center has a room with cooking equipment, areas for babies to sleep and play, and a room for breastfeeding mothers. This room, Kadaga says, has helped female lawmakers stay active in Parliament and solved many problems for them. In the past, one would either have to leave Parliament and go back home, depending on where she lives. That would take time, said Kadaga. Either she would have to do part of the work or abandon the work altogether and come back tomorrow, because the traffic alone, if you are traveling back and forth between the city and your home, it takes time. Two women supervise the center, which is open to both parliamentarians and the women who work for them. Sheba Namara takes her three-month-old baby to the center. She says it is good to know her child is so near.
Just the comfort of being at work, yet at the same time knowing that your child is safe and you can walk in any time, is really the best service that they could ever do.
The World Health Organization rates countries on policies that support breastfeeding in its Global Breastfeeding Scorecard. It says Uganda is among 23 countries where more than 60% of babies are fed only their mother's milk during the first 6 months. Ugandan health officials say there are still many things that can be done to help mothers. These include enacting policies aimed at supporting breastfeeding and babies' health. Officials also say policies to let women more easily balance work and family responsibilities are also needed. I'm Anne Ball.
Up next, Dan Friedel and Katie Weaver tell about the troubles, tragedy, and success of an accidental refugee.
Jesse Calzado Esponda lives in the United States, but spent her early years in Cuba. Her family lived in Havana. Electric power was undependable. The 29-year-old woman says her family would turn to music when the neighborhood lost power.
Music was always part of my life, even from a very young age. I remember that, you know, sometimes when the lights would go out in Cuba, all my family would come out with guitars, and they would be singing, and there would be, you know, some dancing.
That memory is one of few Calzado Esponda has from her childhood on the island nation. She left at age 7, but not by choice. Her aunt had decided to flee from Cuba on a small raft. The young Calzado Esponda and her grandmother stopped just to say goodbye. But disorder broke out, and the little girl and her grandmother were on the raft when it launched. Neither could swim. So Calzado Esponda became an accidental refugee, floating away from her home.
Literally, in the blink of an eye, I lost my mom, my immediate family, and my beloved Cuba, Calzado Esponda said. She would not see her family again for almost 20 years. The United States Coast Guard found the raft at sea and took the child and her relatives to the U.S. base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. They lived there for several months before they were moved to Tampa, Florida. That is when Calzado Esponda's American life began. It is a story almost as unusual as the one that got her to the United States. At one time homeless, she later launched a travel agency which specializes in group trips to Cuba.
Calzado Esponda remembers her first years in the U.S. as happy ones, but she missed her parents and brother. Several years after their arrival in Tampa, Calzado Esponda's aunt killed herself. It was like losing a second mother all over again, Calzado Esponda said. The severe financial loss made the situation more complex. Her aunt had worked in a good-paying job. Calzado Esponda and her grandmother had little money and moved into a homeless shelter. It was just really, really, really hard, Calzado Esponda told VOA, sharing a bedroom with strangers and having to eat meals at set times were not things she was used to.
But something wonderful happened when she was about 12 years old. A music teacher and shelter volunteer took an interest in Calzado Esponda. The teacher urged her to play the piano and other musical instruments. This led to a 6-year study program with what was then the Gulf Coast Youth Choirs. She received financial aid to pay for her training. Traveling with the choir, Calzado Esponda developed a love of traveling, which would be important later in her life. During that period, the homeless shelter helped her grandmother find a job. Calzado Esponda says her grandmother never learned to speak English or drive a car. But she was able to earn enough to move out of the shelter and into an apartment.
Little by little, of course, we struggled here and there, but we made it. And again, it was a lot to do with the community and the support that we got from our community.
Calzado Esponda moved in her 20s to Washington, D.C. She found a job in the office of a U.S. congressman. But at 27, she suddenly faced another major challenge. A car accident left her with a severe brain injury. The injury forced her to leave her job. The young woman suffered some memory loss. She could not remember people's names or what she said to others. She was often sick to her stomach, and her back hurt. Calzado Esponda says the injury was one of the most heartbreaking things she had experienced, but slowly she recovered. She says she still has some really hard days, but that she chooses to get up the next day and try again.
Calzado Esponda got a visa to return to Cuba when she learned her mother was sick. It had been 20 years since she left the island accidentally. She had never returned. Sadly, the day before Calzado Esponda arrived in Cuba, her mother died.
So the very first time I ever met my whole family was at my mom's funeral. And it's one of those things that's very surreal, and it's also very bittersweet.
She says she was amazed at the love and support she received. Just after the visit, then-President Barack Obama announced an easing of relations between the U.S. and Cuba. That is when Calzado Esponda started her travel agency. She named it Cuba Inspires.
After more than a year of operation, her business is off to a good start. Among her first clients were the reality television stars, the Kardashians. Calzado Esponda hopes to build on her success with events such as the U.S.-Cuban Youth Choir Competition, for which she recently won permission. She sees herself as an unofficial ambassador.
I've always considered the United States and Cuba kind of like two divorced parents, and like the United States being my father, Cuba being my mother, and it's my job to kind of bridge the differences between both of them, because I love both of them.
I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
In the United States, the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts are well-known organizations that teach children life and social skills, among other things. But these two groups have recently run into their own special disagreement. Phil Dierking brings us that story.
The Girl Scouts of America is accusing the Boy Scouts of America of secretly trying to recruit girls. Girl Scouts President Kathy Hopinka Hannon wrote a letter to Boy Scouts President Randall Stevenson. In it, Hannon said her organization was upset to learn that the Boy Scouts were talking to young parents about creating programs for their daughters. "We were disappointed in the lack of transparency as we learned that you are testing the appeal of a girl's offering to millennial parents," she wrote. Hannon also said in her letter that she thought the Boy Scouts were being dishonest about being only for boys. Instead, she said, the Boy Scouts are creating a model for both boys and girls. Membership in the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts has declined in recent years. Both organizations have lost more than 1 million members from their highest rates. In answer, top leaders met this month to discuss working together. However, Hannon wrote that she believed the Boy Scouts had already started to create co-ed programs that would damage the Girl Scouts. The letter was first reported by BuzzFeed News. The Boy Scouts confirmed in a statement to the Washington Post that it is considering including girls in its organization. However, the organization said it is not doing so to increase its numbers. Instead, it is responding to requests from families who want their daughters to be a part of the same organization as their sons. The Boy Scouts of America believes in the benefit of single-gender programs, said Effie DeLaMarcos, Director of National Communications for the Boy Scouts, in a statement. But, she added, many boys and girls are not in either the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. So, DeLaMarcos wrote, the Boy Scouts are trying to help families by creating programs that fit into their busy lives. The programs aim to deliver character development and values-based leadership training, DeLaMarcos said. Some women outside the Girl Scouts have asked the Boy Scouts to include girls. In February, after the Boy Scouts announced it would admit transgender children in its programs, the National Organization for Women, or NOW, praised the group. It asked the Boy Scouts to honor its promise to help all children by permitting girls to gain full membership. The National Organization for Women said it was inspired by the efforts of a 15-year-old New York City girl, Sydney Ireland, to act like her older brother, who is an Eagle Scout. Unlike the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts have continued to allow only girls in their programs. They say empowering girls is their most important purpose. I'm Phil Dierking.
Now it's time for What's Trending Today. While many people were busy looking at the solar eclipse on Monday, something else happened at Harvard University in the state of Massachusetts. Malia Obama, the eldest daughter of former U.S. President Barack Obama, moved into her room at Harvard University. Harvard is one of the most famous universities in the United States. Both Barack and Michelle Obama attended law school at Harvard. Malia graduated from high school in Washington, D.C. last year. She spent what is known as a gap year doing an internship with a film producer in New York City. Many people used social media to post messages saying they saw Malia or her famous parents on campus. One Twitter user, Kyle, wrote, "Malia Obama is moving into her dorm, like 30 yards from mine as I'm typing this." The Boston Globe newspaper sent a reporter to the campus to ask Malia questions. The reporter saw her standing outside an old brick building, talking with other students. "She looked like any other freshman," the reporter wrote. The word freshman refers to a first-year college student. Malia told the reporter she could not speak with him, but politely returned a handshake. The reporter spoke with the parents of another student who lives in the same building, known as a dormitory, as Malia Obama. The parent said she was glad her son would be living in a building that probably would be a little safer than the others. Another daughter of a president is starting at a new school this week, too. That is Tiffany Trump. She is going to law school at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. Malia and Tiffany are the latest in a long line of famous young people going to colleges. Chelsea Clinton went to Stanford University in the 1990s when her father was president. Actress Emma Watson, from the Harry Potter movie, recently went to Brown University. She followed the footsteps of actresses Jodie Foster at Yale and Brooke Shields at Princeton University in the 1980s. Ellis Cashmore is a sociology professor. He told the Washington Post that college campuses are filled with smart, experienced young people. In many cases, they have done just as many interesting things as celebrities. He said other students would look pathetic if they were caught taking photos of Malia Obama. Malia Obama has one big advantage compared to Chelsea Clinton or Tiffany Trump. Her father is no longer president. Chelsea came to California with her parents aboard Air Force One, the president's airplane. She drove to campus along with a number of other cars, known as a motorcade, that protect the president. She was protected by the U.S. Secret Service. The Secret Service will still keep an eye on Malia, too, but probably not in the same way it will watch over Tiffany Trump. And that's what's trending today. Finally, John Russell and Alice Bryant give us tips on academic writing.
The Everyday Grammar team often receives questions about academic writing. Students around the world want to improve their academic writing so that they can gain admission and succeed in a college or a university. In this week's report, we are going to explore one pattern that is commonly used in academic writing. You will learn to recognize this pattern, and you will learn how you can use it in your own writing. In addition, you will learn about the times you might not want to use it.
The structure we are exploring is this: noun plus a that clause. The structure is often used to evaluate or judge a topic or idea. A that clause is a group of words beginning with the word that. A clause has both a subject and a predicate. The predicate shows what is said about the subject. The noun might come at the beginning or middle of the sentence. Consider the following examples.
The fact that the theory of evolution has been so contentious in public debates deserves some explanation. This essay is written in the belief that modern historians need to radically change the way they think.
In the first example, the that clause follows the noun fact at the beginning of the sentence. In the second example, the that clause follows the noun belief at the middle of the sentence. In both cases, the noun plays an important part in showing how a writer evaluates an idea. In other words, the noun helps show how the writer is taking a position and making a claim about something. Let's study these sentences in greater detail.
Think back to the first example sentence we gave you. The fact that the theory of evolution has been so contentious in public debates deserves some explanation. Academic writers often use the noun plus a that clause structure to express certainty. In the sentence, the noun fact plays an important role. When the writer uses the word fact, he or she is showing certainty. It shows that the writer does not consider the point to be a subject of debate. The that clause contains the idea that the writer is certain about. The theory of evolution has been a contentious topic. Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber are grammar experts. They note that academic writers often use nouns or noun phrases such as conclusion, fact, little doubt, and no doubt to express certainty. The that clause can have any number of words or ideas. The important point is that it has a subject and a predicate.
A second common use of noun plus a that clause is to express possibility. Consider our second example.
This essay is written in the belief that modern historians need to radically change the way they think.
Here, the noun belief suggests possibility. It is possible for historians to change the way they think. Whether this is correct or not depends on the reader's opinion and the persuasiveness of the author's argument. Conrad and Biber note that other nouns commonly used to show possibility include claim and assumption. Sometimes writers will use the noun possibility itself.
The structures we have discussed today are common in academic writing. If you are writing for other purposes, you might want to use more direct language. Take our example. The fact that the theory of evolution has been so contentious in public debates deserves some explanation. You might read this in an academic publication. This structure might not be the best choice for other situations. Writing an opinion piece in the newspaper or an email to your supervisor, for example. In those cases, it might be better to use more direct language. For example, you could write, "Here are the reasons why the theory of evolution has been a contentious topic," or simply, "People have long debated the theory of evolution." Remember, you have many choices to make when you write a sentence. Learning when to use certain structures can be a long, difficult process. But we bring this lesson to a close with the belief that you will succeed. I'm John Russell.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world, from the Voice of America. I'm Anna Mateo.